Before you listen to today's broadcast, can I ask you to do three things? First, pray with me that God would use this show to touch many lives in a lasting way. Second, if you're blessed by the broadcast, share it with others. Tell others about the Line of Fire. And third, would you pray about standing with us in support with a one-time gift or as a monthly torchbearer to help us spread the fire? If you'd like to stand with us, go to AskDrBrown.org. Click on support. Be blessed. How would you like to join me in a service live in India and hear people freshly dedicating themselves to the gospel, whatever the cost, whatever the consequences? Well, stay with us. It's coming your way right here on The Line of Fire.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Tackling the controversies, engaging the culture, challenging the status quo, and taking your calls. Dr. Brown is the director of Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Call now at 866-34-TRUTH and get into the Line of Fire.
It's about 1:36 in the morning here in Vishakhapatnam, India. I'm not quite sure what day it is. I really don't know if it's day or night, aside from looking at the clock. But I know it's Mike Brown, and I know this is The Line of Fire, and we're coming away live from India. That's right. We were able to do this 1 year ago, and thank God, looks like our connection is working, and we're coming your way live. Joey, let me know if everything sounds good on your end. But we'll also be taking your calls. That's right. Live from India, 866-34-TRUTH. 866-348-7884. No, you're not going to have a toll call to India, all right? This is coming into our studio, and I'll be hearing you right here. Thanks for praying, those of you that remember to pray for the trip as we were traveling over. From the moment I left my house to the moment I got set up in the hotel here, it was about 38 hours of travel. I had a few long layovers in a few different cities. Everything went well. And as we gathered here in India, the primary reason that I come, yes, the will of God, the leading of the Lord, relationships, but in terms of a specific ministry purpose here in India, the primary reason I come is to pray for grads of the discipleship training centers as they go out to plant new churches, tribal regions, difficult situations. We're hearing some of the reports, some of the hardships, some of the difficulty the brothers and sisters are going through. And I just got an amazing statistic. I'm going to ask you a question for a moment, get your feedback on something. But just talking to Yesupadam, who leads the ministry here, since they started their discipleship training centers, this will be the 21st graduation and the 17th that I've spoken at, presided at, which means laying hands on the grads, sending them out, commissioning them to do the work of the gospel. They said they have graduated 1,800 students from the Discipleship Training Center. They make sure that they're the right people that should be in the school, their intensive nine-month program, which is biblical and practical. And they don't charge anything for the program. They get people they feel are called, and then they pour into them. I just heard an amazing stat. Are you ready for this? Yesupadam just told me tonight at his home after the first meeting that 90% of the grads are in full-time ministry. Now, on the one hand, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're in, quote, full-time ministry. I understand that. But what we're talking about is actually planting churches, starting new works, giving themselves day and night to gospel work, 90%. Now, in America, grads from our ministry schools, hopefully this is not the stat with Fire, but it's a very typical stat with many other major schools, about 5% of those that graduate are in full-time ministry. Sometimes 10% would be a good number. The exact opposite, 90%. And even to get to the meetings here, people actually risk their lives. I'm not hyping anything up. I'm just telling you the truth. There is a lot of resistance in some locations from the Naxalites, the radical communists. They are violent. They recently, this last couple of days, kidnapped a number of people and then killed a few of them. I was told that they're beating people to death brutally or chopping their heads off with axes, just murderous acts. And they've taken over roads in certain areas, chopped down trees and blocked roads. And some people, just to get here, to be at the conference, to share with the other pastors and leaders, to be prayed for afresh, risk their lives to be here. I want to take you into some of the preaching from tonight. I was able to record some of it, and I'm going to play an excerpt from the preaching and then later in the show from some of the closing prayer at the end. And then, like I said, I've got a question I want to ask you, curious to hear your feedback. But first, just, I don't get to do this much. It's a pretty extreme thing to be over here in India to set this up to be able to broadcast live. So I want to do my best to take you into what's happening. But we have two translators. I preach, and then Yesu Padam translates into Telugu, and then that's followed by a translation into Hindi for the brothers and sisters from Orissa. This is the state that underwent horrific persecution in 2008. We've gotten firsthand reports of things still not set right, of ongoing persecution, of people being killed. A pastor was sharing right before I got to the meeting tonight, and I hope to do a private interview with him, of some of the horrors that they live with, even having to have a dead baby in a house for days because of Hindu riots and beatings and not allowing to bury. I'm talking about real life and death challenges, and these people are going on with Jesus. These people are strong in the Lord, even when they're forced to follow Jesus or die, convert back to Hinduism or die, they're standing strong. So I was preaching from Jeremiah 1. Question I want to ask you. When you read the words of the prophets, when you read God saying, I called you, I've set you apart, do you feel that that relates to you personally? Do you feel that that is something for you firsthand? Do you feel like God said, yeah, I've called you. Yeah, I've set you apart. Yeah, I've laid my hand on you. When you read the words of the prophets, does it speak to you in that personal way? And you say, yeah, I sense I'm called. Yes, I sense I'm chosen. No, I didn't ask you if you're one of the two witnesses in the book of Revelation. But when you read Jeremiah, the first chapter, and you read about the calling of God, and before you're in your mother's womb, I set you apart for my purposes, do you relate to that on a personal level and say, yes, yes, God's laid his hand on me. He has a purpose for me. I live and die to do his will. 866-34-TRUTH. So let me take you into some of the preaching tonight. It'll be a little different. I'll just play maybe 2 minutes of it, but I want you to hear this in multiple translations. This is the way we do it here at these special meetings in India.
You have been called by God. Jesus shed his blood for you. That means that you are purchased by God. Yes, we are his beloved sons and daughters. Yes, he died for us because of his love for us. Yes, he enjoys fellowship with us. He loves to spend time with us. He rejoices in our midst. He pours out his goodness on us day and night. But he also called us to his service.
ఆయన పని కొరకు కూడా మనల్ని పిలిచాడు దేవుని నామానికి మహిమ
కలుగునుగా అదే
పౌలు గారు కొరింథీయులకు
రాశాడు
మీరు మీ వారు కాదు
యు హావ్ బీన్ బాట్ విత్ ఎ ప్రైస్
కొనబట్టి కొనబడిన వారు మీరు
Therefore, glorify God with your body. This must fill every fiber of our being.
దేవుని చేత పిలువబడ్డ మన సత్యాన్ని మనం
గుర్తుంచుకోవాలి. All right, that was just a few hours ago in India, encouraging these men and women of God that they are called by God, and that life does not revolve around what's good for me. Life does not revolve around my choices. And you go to a restaurant and there's a menu. I think I'm in the mood for. No, I think I'm in the mood for. Honey, what should I get? No. That is not the way it is with the gospel. Life does not revolve around me or you.
God does not come to us with a menu of choices. Now, we have the easy calling, the hard calling, the popular calling, the unpopular calling, the prophetic calling, or the politician call. No, no. We are called by God to do his will. Jesus says, take up the cross, follow me. You notice it's the same word to men, women. You notice it's the same word to rich and poor. You notice it's the same word to Jew, Gentile. You notice it's the same word regardless of color, ethnicity. Same word. Take up your cross, follow me. Same Jesus example. Deny yourself. It does not begin with, oh, this is just what I've been looking for, and I think that I will explore the possibilities of just who I could become and all of the wonderful things that I could do in God, and if it's not to my satisfaction, I'll go somewhere else. No, that's not the gospel. The gospel comes with the reality that Jesus shed his blood for us, and now we live to do his will. What about you? You read the words of the prophets. Is that for you? Are you called? Are you set apart? More from India when we come back. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. Michael Brown, coming your way live from India, Vishakhapatnam. Okay, it's Friday, right? It is Friday. You travel a couple of days and into multiple time zones, and it's 11 and a half hour difference. Or is it 10 and a half? It's a lot different time, but I think it's Friday. It's December 3rd. My computer's telling me it's December 3rd, 2010. And we are coming your way live from India, where we had a wonderful opening meeting and a full schedule tomorrow. In fact, I found out I'm naming a baby tomorrow. It's a custom. If you're close with a family or they just look at you spiritually, they feel the Lord's giving you something. I've been asked to name several babies over the years in India. So think of that. That kid, for the rest of that kid's life, that is the name. So you really pray that it'll have prophetic significance. So morning meeting and then naming a baby, then graduation service tomorrow night, and I was told we may do a special foot washing meeting for the brothers and sisters from Orissa in ongoing persecution. You don't hear about it. It's not reported in the media. When there was a horrific persecution 2 years ago, there was a media crackdown that within India, people couldn't report on it. It basically did not get out to the rest of the world. Real atrocities, real suffering. So there may be a foot washing service for them, which would be the second one we've done in just 17 trips over here. And then what else? Combined church services, Sunday, wedding, Monday morning before I fly out. So that's the schedule here from India. Okay, I've got a question for you. And then I'm actually going to ask you a trivia question and then get back to some very serious issues. My question. You read the words of the prophetic books. This is part of our Bible, right? You read how God encounters Isaiah, or Isaiah encounters God in the temple, sees him in his holiness, and receives a commission. You read the words of Jeremiah, where God says, before you're in your mother's womb, I knew you. You read how Ezekiel has this chariot vision of God, and he's transformed, and he's called, and Amos says the Lord laid his hand on him. Or in the New Testament, Saul of Tarsus, Paul having his encounter with Jesus, and who are you, Lord? What would you have me to do? Do you relate to those on a personal level? When you read those words, do you relate to them? Does it speak to you? You feel, and you have this recognition, not my own. I don't belong to myself. I live to do the will of God. No, we're not writing scripture or giving scriptural words the way they were. Even if you have a burning sense of a prophetic calling in your life, we don't function with the authority that they had in the Old Testament. I understand that we're not apostles writing scripture the way Paul was. But is there something where you feel gripped the same way? Where you feel that sense of divine destiny? Where you feel that sense of divine calling? Or do you think, no, that's just for a few. That's only for certain people. Let me say this. Ephesians 1 tells us that in Jesus we are called and elect before the foundation of the world. That should say something to us. When the Word of God speaks of our calling and our divine destiny, that should tell us, regardless of how you personally relate to those words in the prophetic books, that should tell us when the New Testament speaks of us as called by God before the foundation of the world, that should remind us, I'm not here to do my thing. I'm not here to do my will. God did not create me for that purpose. Jesus did not die for me for that purpose. You know, I was talking to a fellow working with the Gallup organization. He was talking about this Strengths Finder surveying that they do, and they have 33 different strengths and so on. And he was, I've used it very fruitfully to look at my own life. Some of our leadership team has to look at our lives and see kind of how we operate. And he was explaining to me that if you take the 32 or 33 different characteristics in the Strengths Finder list, that no two people on the planet will have the same strengths in the same order. In other words, just statistically, if you break that down with 32 numbers in the same order, it would be more than all human beings created in history. In other words, every person's unique. Every person's unique. Look, science tells us that no two snowflakes are identical. Someone once presented to me a book that was written by a fellow, very brilliant fellow who had come to faith as this woman had shared with him on campus, and now his doctoral research is on the snowflake, whatever it was. I was shown this book he had written filled with mathematical formulas. I mean, I couldn't make head or tail of it. Mathematical formulas, scientific statements, and then these pictures of snowflakes and so on, and every snowflake is different. Come on, how mind-boggling is it? No two snowflakes are alike. What am I saying? We're each different. We're each unique. There are no two human beings that are completely identical, and we have been fashioned by God for a purpose, and something that has to become real to us, something that has to be part of our personal realization, is that God brought me into this world for a purpose. God brought me into this world to make a difference. I'm not trying to give some soulish, selfish inspiration. There's no one else like you. There's no one else that can be the way you are. Be the best you. Oh, okay. That's true, but I'm talking about in the service of God. I'm talking about the orchestra that he's putting together to get a sound out that he wants to produce. Each one of us has our very specific sound to play. Each one of us has our very specific role to play. And it's so important for us to grasp hold of it. I'm called by God with a purpose. When I was first saved, what I understood was that there was a calling of God on my life. Wow. What does it mean to be called? And the other guys that had gotten saved with me, the other musicians in our band, we're called to preach. Okay, and we were, and I am. That's true. But there's a sense in which every child of God is called. Every child of God has a specific divine purpose. If you are in Jesus, my friend, you are not just part of the corporate blob, and your role is to add your blob to my blob so that we have the big corporate blob. No, we have been brought into the kingdom for this generation, the generation in which you live. You're here at the right time. But you know my background. God can redeem it all for his purposes, and if we yield ourselves to him unconditionally, if we come to that place of saying, my life for the gospel, my life for souls, my life for the kingdom of God, my life to see Jesus glorified, regardless of cost or consequences, then we start to think biblically. Then we start to live the way the New Testament believers live. Then we understand some of Jesus' teaching to take up the cross and follow him. We come back. I'm going to play an excerpt of the prayer time at the end of the service as people came up to freshly dedicate themselves to the purpose of God, and others came up to be strengthened in the midst of pressure. I also want to give you a report on the worst fires in the history of the modern state of Israel, which leads me to a question for you, which is an enlightening question. What was the original name of the Jerusalem Post? What was the original name of the Jerusalem Post? 866-34-TRUTH. Get it right, and I'll send you a free copy of my book, What Do Jewish People Think About Jesus? How do you like that? 60 questions Christians ask about Jewish beliefs and practices. But you got to get this right. What was the original name of the Jerusalem Post? newspaper, 866-34-TRUTH. Back after the break. Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. Michael Brown coming your way live from Vishakhapatnam, India. That is on the east coast, on the south side of India, but with many, many thousands of unreached peoples, unreached individuals, villages that need to be touched. And it's my privilege to come here year by year and stand with these precious brothers and sisters. If you missed my show yesterday, it was pre-recorded while traveling to India. We've been able to multitask, do a lot of things, but I've not yet figured out how to be flying in a plane 40,000 feet in the air and broadcasting live on the Line of Fire. But I shared some stories from India. If you didn't hear that show, by all means, listen to yesterday's broadcast at AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. If you'd like to interact with us in real time, right now I'm looking at folks interacting with us on our Facebook page. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook, and you can interact. Well, I'm sitting here in my room in Vishakhapatnam, India. I should give you a prize just if you could spell that name correctly. We can interact by Facebook. Okay, before I get back to India and play an excerpt from tonight's message, I've mentioned that there are forest fires in Israel right now. There was speculation it could have been arson. Others said no, it's just trash burning. In any case, over 40 people have died. The worst fire in the history of Israel. If you can imagine numbers like that, especially with a population, less than 1/40th the population of America, that would be like over 1,600 people dying in fires in America. So just an absolute shocker. I'm going to talk to you more about that in a moment. But as I've been thinking about Israel, it got me thinking about this question. What was the original name of the Jerusalem Post? This is the best-known newspaper in Israel, goes out internationally. What was the original name of the Jerusalem Post, 866-34-TRUTH? If you get it right, I will give you a free copy of my book, What Do Jewish People Think About Jesus? Now, I won't send it from India, but we have it in stock in the States, and our offices will send it out. And it's relevant. It is not just a random question. It is actually relevant. So before I get back to India, and then tell you about the forest fires and let you know what's happening in Israel. Let's see if we've got a winner here. Our friend Debbie in Franklin, Massachusetts. How you doing today?
I'm doing very well. How about yourself?
Good. Little between time zones, but blessed. Everything's good. Thank you.
Okay. All righty. You want me to try to guess at the answer?
The original name of the Jerusalem Post, yes.
All right. Here we go. Is it the Palestine Post?
It was the Palestine Post. Yeah, how did you know that?
I did a search. Sorry.
Did a search, yeah.
No,
that's
cheated.
Okay. Sometimes I tell people they couldn't, but I didn't tell you couldn't, so that was all right. Yeah, so you didn't cheat, because I didn't give that as a rule this time.
I would have never have known.
Yeah, now, were you surprised when you found that?
Very surprised. Very, very surprised.
How come?
Because they're like enemies. With Israel, and it's like, why are they labeling their enemy as their name of their newspaper?
All right. Well, tell you what, you got the answer right, so we're going to send you the book, okay?
Okay.
So we'll put you on hold. But I need someone else to explain why it was originally called the Palestine Post, because Debbie said that, you know, we're talking about enemies, and why was it called that? Why was it originally called the Palestine Post? Yeah, you can search online, yes, and you'll get a free book, too. How's that? We're being generous from India. 866-34-TRUTH. Why was it originally called the Palestine Post? If the Palestinians and the Israelis are such mortal enemies, why was it originally called that? Joey, do we have time to play tell you what. I don't think I can squeeze this in right now. I'm going to play another excerpt from our prayer dedication time at the end of the service. But I want to tell you more about the forest fires. Again, the worst fire, wildfire or terrorist attack, the latest report I just saw said that it was people burning garbage. But it's one of the worst catastrophes in Israel's history. It's in the Jewish state's northern Carmel region. The blaze has continued to spread since Thursday morning. I'm reading a report from Jerusalem on the line, JNN News. The blaze has continued to spread since Thursday morning. It's yet to be contained, even with the unprecedented help and backing from many concerned nations and massive military and civilian cooperation in Israel. So specific prayer requests, pray for right weather conditions, strategies for all involved to fight this inferno, protection from death and injury for northern residents, evacuation workers and firefighters. You have to understand that Israel is in a horrific drought. While I was there, there was prayer for rain. I was there just, 2 weeks ago. The chief rabbis were calling for special prayer for rain. And months and months without rain, the Sea of Galilee being at very, very low levels, and just a perfect setting for a blaze to break out. The report continues, firefighting aircraft from Britain, Greece, and Cyprus landed in Israel early Friday, the first arrivals of a planned international aid drive to battle a massive brush fire that's been searing its way through a large area of northern Israel since Thursday morning. Over 17,000 northern residents, including 600 prison inmates, were evacuated as the blaze raged out of control, devastating thousands of acres of pine forest before sweeping down the slopes of the Carmel Plateau towards Haifa, Israel's third largest city. Death toll from the blaze reached 42 on Friday, most from an incident involving a bus carrying members of a prison service guards corps who were heading to the Damon jail to help evacuate inmates there. I was just in this location, the village of Isfia on Mount Carmel, where I preached at Dave Davis's congregation, Kehilat Har Carmel, just what, a little over 2 weeks ago on a Saturday. Is it 3 weeks ago now? This is the place where famously Elijah called down fire from heaven, that same Mount Carmel. Now fire is raging. They've had to evacuate parts of the village, had to relocate their Shabbat services for this coming week. One of the Israeli parliamentarians, Knesset member Yaakov Katz of the National Union, was the first leader Thursday to voice the possibility that the fire was a terror attack, an act of arson that turned into a massacre. The fire spread from three locations simultaneously, making arson a likely possibility. Radio Haifa reported that Arabs had been dancing in the streets of Ferratus, just south of Haifa, in celebration of the deadly blaze. Really pray. This is, again, an unprecedented crisis in Israel. The last report I read, the fire was moving towards Haifa, towards the university there. Pray that God would be glorified, that people would turn to him, that lives would be spared, that somehow this natural disaster would be turned by God into an opportunity for his glory, for an opportunity for the kingdom to be advanced, for people to turn to him. And bottom line, listen, you know I stand in strong support of Israel, not just as a Jew, but as a follower of the scriptures. And at the very same time, I tell you that Israel needs the Lord, that there is much godlessness in the land, there is much hypocrisy, there is much sin. And I do not support Israel because of Israel's perfect righteousness, but because of God's purposes, just as I pray for his mercy among the Palestinians. Which leads back to that question then. Why was the Jerusalem Post originally called the Palestine Post? After all, aren't the Palestinians enemies of Israel? 866-34-TRUTH. Come on, somebody out there has got the answer. And we'll be back with more from India. It's 2:15 in the morning here in Visakhapatnam, India. Michael Brown coming your way live, talking about from a hidden location. Go ahead, find where I'm broadcasting from in Visakhapatnam on the east coast of India. But we are coming your way live, 866-34-TRUTH. In the midst of a serious broadcast, talking about dedication to the Lord, devotion to the Lord, some of the hardship suffered by our brothers and sisters here in India, some of those in the midst of heavy persecution in recent years in the state of Orissa are here for these special meetings. I've also talked to you about a serious matter from Israel, forest fires, and asked a question that might seem like a silly question, a trivia question about the original name of the Jerusalem Post, the Palestine Post. Why ask that? Okay. Stay with me. Stay with me. Nothing trivial about anything I'm asking thus far. However, I still do not have a correct answer to the question. Why was the Jerusalem Post originally called the Palestine Post? If our last caller, Debbie, said, you know, that's hostile, Palestinians hostile Israelis, why call it by that name? I'm going to answer that for you shortly. But first, back to the service tonight. I relate, when I read the prophetic books, I relate as if God's speaking directly to me, called with a purpose. No. I don't have delusions that I'm called the way Jeremiah was called and I'm writing parts of the Bible. Okay, is that clear? I'm called the way Paul was called and I'm writing parts of the New Testament, parts of the Word. No, but there is this sense of being gripped by God, of His hand is on me when I press in prayer. And again, everybody's different. Everybody relates to the Lord differently. But when I really spend quality time in the presence of God, I get gripped with the sense of His purpose for my life. I get gripped with the sense of why He has put me in this world. I get gripped with the sense of I'm not my own. And that sense, I believe, should be for every one of us. Because Paul said, 1 Corinthians 6 and 7, you're bought with a price. You're not your own. We've been purchased to do the will of God, and that means He can send us wherever He wants and call us to do whatever He wants to, regardless of its effects on us, because this is about His mission, His purpose, His glory, and that's why we are here. And as we give ourselves to that, of course, we find that's the very source of our lives. So at the end of the meeting, we called people up. Again, we've got two translations into Telugu and into Hindi. We called people up just to pray for them, to pray blessing, to pray for them to be used by the Lord. So again, it's not every day I get to do this. You are my online community, my radio community. It's my sense of just getting to share with you what's happening so we can experience this together. So here's an excerpt from the prayer time at the end of the altar call tonight.
And Lord, we pray for those who are persecuting our brothers and sisters. We bless them in Jesus' name. We bless them in Jesus' name. Pour out your love on them. Pour out your mercy on them. Forgive them for they don't know what they are doing. Lord, some of those who have been the most fierce persecutors, turn them into mighty evangelists. Lord, some who've killed Christians, may they have the privilege of laying down their lives for you. God, send the fires of revival. Pour out your spirit in India. Pour out your spirit in India. Visit this nation. May the names of every other god be brought down. May the name of Jesus alone be exalted. Here we are. Send us. Use us. Glorify Jesus through us. Whether by life or by death. Here we are, your servants. Called by you. Make us vessels of revival for the land. In the name of Jesus.
We'll be back with more. Stay with us. Thanks so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. This is normally our day of you've got questions, you've got answers. Actually, that'll be coming your way Tuesday of this coming week. And Monday, I hope to be coming your way again live from India, as I have tonight. Actually played some excerpts from services, and hopefully by Monday night, I'll be able to really give you a report, having sat down firsthand, talk with people in the midst of persecution, hearing things, looking in the eyes of people who've been threatened with death, who've looked death in the eye, who are standing for Jesus. This is stuff we need to hear. This is stuff we need to consider, friends. And if you go to our website, AskDrBrown.org, our show from yesterday on The Line of Fire, Stories from India, there's a link to a precious ministry that we work with here that you can support, help, stand with. Okay, before I give you my closing thoughts for today, I've asked a question, as we talked about the forest fires in Israel, just to bring you up to date on something else of real importance. What was the original name of the Jerusalem Post? We found out the original name was the Palestine Post, but that baffled some people. Why was it called by that name if Palestinians and Israelis are hostile to each other? Well, there's something to the history that needs to be known, so let's see if Ray in Nahunsa, Georgia, has that information. Thanks for calling, Ray.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Well, I also looked it up, but in 1932, the paper was originated, and at that time, Israel was called with the British Mandate of Palestine, and the paper was in support of the Zionist movement.
Uh-huh.
And then it was bombed, and I think in 1948, and then.
Yep.
Changed to the Jerusalem Post.
Right. So, yeah, it was changed a couple years after that to Jerusalem Post. Thank you for getting the answer right. I'm going to give a bit more detail. And I think this is the first person I've talked to from Nahunsa. So thanks for calling me in India from Nahunsa. I appreciate it. Okay. Here's why I raised that, because it wasn't just trivia. All right. It was not just trivia. Here's the reason I raised it. Because the people that identified as Palestinians in the 1930s and the 1940s were Jews. They're the ones that identified as Palestinians because there was no such thing as a Palestinian people. There was not some consciousness that there is this, the Arabs living there identified as we're the historic Palestinian people. No, some had lived there for generations, but they did not have the identity as a Palestinian people. That did not begin until 1967. So hence, the Jerusalem Post, what was the Jerusalem Post originally called? The Palestine Post. Here, how about the Israeli Philharmonic Orchestra? What was it originally known as? The Palestine Orchestra. That was its English name, the Palestine Orchestra. Why? Because the Jews were the Palestinians. Okay, more on that another day. Let me give you my closing thoughts, my bottom line from India. When I come to a country like India and I see people going out to the tribal regions to preach the gospel, I see people risking their lives for Jesus. I see people being threatened and intimidated and told that they're going to be killed unless they convert to Hinduism. That I can talk to a pastor who, when persecution broke a couple of years ago, was so badly beaten, he was in a coma for 6 days and on and on. I can talk to people who have looked death in the face and who said we're going to follow Jesus. That brings me back to New Testament reality. That brings me back to the spiritual realities that were just taken for granted in New Testament times, namely to follow Jesus might cost you your life. To follow Jesus might cost you your job. You may be put out, cast out, rejected, but praise the Lord, because that's how the prophets were treated before you. And it's a privilege and it's an honor to do the will of God and to suffer for it. So friends, let's join hands. with our brothers and sisters in India. Let's join hands with the apostles and prophets of old. Let's stand for truth. Let's stand for righteousness. Let's stand for the gospel at any cost, at any consequence. Pray for me this weekend for the fire to fall in India. Back with you on Monday.